All right, everybody. So, did you guys get the PDF for Professor Agassiz, The Student and the Fish?
Yes.
What?
Did you guys read it?
Yes.
How many people did not read it? In trouble. You guys are exempt. You guys
wait, what are we talking about?
Okay.
I didn't get it.
They're teaching the federal ones lesson.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. So you guys are okay with the other ones. I want you guys to do 15 laps.
Just joking. Wait, that's what our coaches did.
We're talking about this PDF right here that's behind me. Do you see it?
It's not.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait. There it is.
Oh.
So, anyways, there's a true story about a professor. This guy was a phenomenal professor. And he gave his students a task, and that is, take a look at a fish and tell me what you see. We are in the middle of studying through the inductive Bible study method. We're going through the O, the I, and the A. Right now we're on O. We're on the second part. When you go and you study the Bible, what you want to do is you want to observe, you want to interpret, and you want to apply. And this is how you dig really, really deeply into the scriptures. So last week we went over a little bit more of a teaching. This week we're going to do more of an interaction. We're going to try and keep that as our pattern. A little bit more on the teaching on the first part. And then we're going to give you a chance to interact and share what you're seeing. So just for the sake of time, because I do have quite a bit to go through tonight and still want to get some interaction with you guys. What are some things that you guys, for the people who weren't here, didn't get the PDF, what did you get out of this story? Anybody want to share? Student goes to him. He says, look at this fish. It was a, I forgot, it starts with an H, Hamongalon or type fish. I was going to read it, but it's like three pages. You guys don't want me to read it to you. And so he gave the students a fish, and he says, I want you to observe it. And the student went back and says, I don't know, it's got fins, it's got scales, it's got a couple of eyes, right? It's got a mouth, right? It's got a tail, right? And he turned it back in, and the teacher said, you guys did read this, right? Or were you just lying in church? Because if you were, we're in big trouble here.
I never read
Thank you, Sharon.
So.
I know you talked about this. I was waiting for you. So the teacher said, you got to keep looking. So he went back, and he's like, geez, what else am I going to come up with? There's really, you know, I've looked as much as I could. And he went back. Teacher kept telling him, go look. I will tell you that that's a wonderful illustration for approaching the scriptures. If you're not going to put time into it, then you're not going to develop that ability to really see things in the scriptures, to really open yourself up. We talked about the necessity of prayer. We got to start with prayer, and then we go to meditation, right? And then we go to investigation, right? We dig deeper, right? And those are the steps. There were three steps that we went through last week. And that's what we need to do. We need to continue going deeper and deeper. This is how people grow in the Lord. And I've told you guys, I'm proud of you guys for coming. Keep coming back for this, because you're going to, by the end of the year, you're going to know how to study the Bible. I guarantee it. Now, it's up to you how much work you're going to put into it. But that being said, the student went back and then he found more and he found more and he found more and he found more. If you put the time into it, just like anything in life, you're going to be able to reap the rewards. So let me share one more thing, just to kind of put it on a scale that we can understand on an eternal scale. If you put time into understanding the Bible, you're going to take that knowledge forever and ever and ever. You're going to take it everywhere that you go. You can learn as much as you want about things in this world, and there's a lot of values to doing that, but when you learn the Word of God, it goes wherever you go, and it will take right on into eternity, and you will be rewarded on earth and in heaven. So now that you guys have done that, you've read through, and if somebody can, just before you leave, take a roll call, write down the names, give it to me, so I'll make sure that I get you guys the copy, and I'm going to send my notes out as well. I sent my notes out last week. I'll send my notes out again this week, so you have exactly what I'm looking at. But now that you guys are skilled, at least taught how to observe, I want to give you a couple of challenges, a couple of things to take a look at. So the first thing is I want you to take a look at something called a stereogram. You guys ever heard of a stereogram? Mm-hmm. Stereogram is a special picture that requires you to look and really look and really look. And sometimes you got to kind of cross your eyes a little bit. You know what I'm talking about, right? They were pretty cool back in the 90s. Some people don't know what that's like to be.
Oh.
So, see if we can make it a little bigger, but how about a little bigger than that?
No, I got that.
So I'll give you the first one. Okay, these aren't coming quite as clear as they would on a on your own monitor at home. But I can see the second one a little bit. So we're not going to take a long time. I was going to let you guys kind of really struggle through and try to figure it out. But I'll give you the first one. Is this the first one, Eric?
Yep.
Okay. You guys want to do this? Is fun. Let me get my camera out so I can get pictures of you guys.
Yeah, it's a picture.
So you have to kind of like look at it and then look through it.
Is it supposed to be like a close-up of something or no?
No, it's like a 3D image. But you have to conform your eyes. You have to observe it very particularly. The approach to see things here in these stereograms is similar in principle to studying the Word of God. You have to take an added moment and you have to look at it differently. What we have is an eternal document here. And so it requires that we would dedicate that time to it. All right, so this is, I'm going to give you the first one. And what I'm going to do is I'll email you guys the pictures. And if I can't get in an email, then I will copy the link for you. This first one's not a Christian one. The next two are. This one's, do you see something?
Yeah, I see.
What do you see?
I can't quite tell what it is, but there's something in the middle because it's a little grainy.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm familiar with those kind of things. I do it all the time.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like an Indian vibe to it. The colors.
It does have a little, yeah.
Yeah.
But don't, there's more than that. So Bob is seeing what? A circle?
I'm not sure. It looks like it's a circle right in the middle.
Yeah, you're right.
I've
seen an oval.
Well, there it is. It's got. Oh, it's a heart. Is it a heart?
No.
No, it's got a point on the bottom.
Yeah, it's a circle.
And it's okay.
So what this is? I'm gonna. Yeah. No. And you'll be able to see it when I send it to you. It's the planet Saturn. Circle with that. So that's what you were seeing.
Oh, it looks like the rings. That's why.
Yeah, that's the rings.
Oh, it's a dingo.
I see.
You have to, yeah. So you got to play with your eyes. You know what I do? I'll tell you that one of the things that works for me when I look at these is I look at them, like I kind of blur my eyes a little bit, and then I make two. I don't know if you can make two pictures of something with your eyes while you're looking at it, and then I move a little bit, just a little bit, and it gives me the dimensions, the three dimensions. That's my little approach. Okay.
So rotate my.
So.
Wait. So those are Saturn's rings, right?
Counterclockwise.
That one is Saturn and its rings, and then.
I don't picture the rings like colorful. Like that.
I feel like I'm looking at a different.
There we go.
Oh, so
Saturn.
Yeah. Good job. All right. So Pablo wants to tell us what the next one is. Eric, go ahead and go to the next one.
I never knew Saturn's rings were like that colorful. I just thought they were just.
This it's not a real picture. It's like an image of it, but you have to look. So
this one, for sure.
Yeah. So this next one is a Christian one.
Oh, Christian.
Jesus.
No.
Cross.
Yeah, I see a cross.
Oh yeah.
Do you see a cross?
I see a cross in the center.
What else do you
see?
You're getting
close. I see it. It's there's like a long thing in the middle, and then there's some
things
up there.
Is that a
bottom
of
Jesus? It looks like the bottom
of
the
little
bird down below.
No, but there is something down below.
Yeah.
Bob seems to be catching on the quickest. There's something below, and there's something on top.
Oh,
yeah. Do you see it?
I can't really see anything. It's like the ocean floor. I can't even see anything.
I don't see it.
Okay, it's not a bird. This is a Christian thing.
Is it a plane?
So listen, we are going to not tell you what it is, and I'm going to send it to you.
Oh.
And you can send your, you can reply all, I don't care. And then tell them, I see what it is, it's this. You can make it bigger on your computer monitor. All right, so. For the
quail with a little thing on his head.
How do you see a bird?
How do you see a bird on there?
In the center, yeah.
Alright, so we are going to go to the next one, and I'll be shocked if you guys get this one. This one did not come out very clear.
No, it does not look like
it. Go back. Too big.
If you can get the general shape, I'll be pretty impressed. But this one.
Oh, it goes like.
Yeah, you're on the right track, Jennifer. You're on the right track.
It's like a man with a cluster.
I can't even see this. Anybody see anything else? I will tell you this.
Looks like a big clam.
This one has words.
What?
I'll give you that hint.
Okay.
When I'm. Yeah, and you got to cross your eyes and. But I'll send it to you guys, and you guys can play around with it.
It's a word.
Because I got to rein people in here.
It looks like a close-up of a snake.
It's not a snake. I couldn't see it. At home, I can. When I have more resolution.
You see that? It really does?
It does.
I know what the words are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see the words.
Okay, now I see the words.
What does it say? Apparently, don't tell him. He has the computer.
It's a better resolution, yeah. So, you guys, go ahead and.
It just looks like a bunch of little seaweeds to me.
Yeah. So I'll send it to you guys. I will try my best to send it tonight. If somebody takes roll and puts everybody's name down and gives it to me. Mike's got it perfect. Awesome. I'll send it out to you guys tonight in these pictures. They're not big pictures, but and if it's too big for an email, I'll send you the links and you can go in and find them, especially these last two. I have one someplace that we bought, and it's Jesus, I think it's Jesus on the cross, and it's a big one. It's 16 by 20. It's very cool. I don't know what I did with it. I think it's up in the attic someplace. You will. I couldn't see them here, but you will when you get a better resolution. So, all right, so we'll get the lights back on, and I want to tell you a story about Dr. Watson and Sherlock Holmes. Holmes says this, "You see, but you do not observe. The distinction is clear. For example, you have frequently seen the steps which lead up from the hall to this room." By the way, if you live in a second-story house, this is a good illustration for you. How many steps are there going up to your from your first floor to second floor? Watson says, frequently. Holmes says, how often? Watson says, some hundreds of times. Holmes says, then how many are there? How many steps going up from the hall to your room? Watson says, how many? I don't know. Holmes says, quite so. You have not observed, and yet you have seen. This is just my point. Now, I know that there are 17 steps because I have both seen and observed them. So when it comes to scriptures, who are you more like? Are you more like Watson or Holmes? Do you see the details? Do you observe the details? Are you able to identify things? A lot of times you walk into buildings and stuff and people don't look up very much. That's pretty a funny thing. People do not look up very much. People miss so many things that are up when you go into a building. You can see so many things, and it tells you so much about character. And unless something is, obviously like the Sistine Chapel, and so there's something to look at. Most people don't even look up. A lot of people look down, but they miss a lot of the details. When it comes to scriptures, we have to be paying attention to the details. Are you guys with me? It's not, and it shouldn't be. Listen, we know that the Grow Wednesdays, we're explaining. G is for growing in God. We're going to be teaching you how to grow in God on Sundays. You're going to get that example. You should be taking the things that you're learning now and applying them to Sunday. How is Pastor sharing? How is Pastor Robert, Pastor Sean, Pastor Pablo, how are they sharing the scriptures? What are they observing, and how can I observe? Go to 1 John and read through, read ahead, and see if you can pull stuff out. You will just grow in the Lord through all of this. But sometimes you got to slow down. We talked about it last week. One of the difficulties for us is being committed to slow down and read. I promise you guys this. If you will commit to being here in the next year, you're going to be a different person spiritually. If you commit to being here, if you commit to working hard, our church is going to look different a year from now. Come October next year, our church is going to have a different approach, a different appearance, a different attitude, a different perspective on what Christian life is all about, because we're training you, we're discipling you. We're changing. Obviously, you know, this is a totally different format. And you'll see by the end of the time today that what we're doing is completely different. It's going to be a lot more interactive. But pray for me and pray for those that will be sharing, because it's hard for us to go through that. So I've got some more drills for you, okay? Tonight we're going to go through parts of speech. So I'm giving you a little bit of fun because it's going to be academic, but it's going to be quick. I'm going to go through it very, very quickly, and I'm going to email it to you so you have it at your disposal. So Eric, show us. Let's find the colors. I want you very, very quickly, and you could yell out if you read this and you tell me, where are the colors at? What is there, five colors? I think there's five colors. Anybody see one? Okay, I'm going to help you on this one. This one's easy.
Canadian?
Right?
Or
green.
Yeah. Okay, so we're not actually looking for the word.
Rose?
Kalooza?
Right?
Wait. I don't get it.
Brown, okay.
Oh, green.
Where is the green at?
Between ogre and injured.
Okay, green.
Red.
Red, good.
Gray.
Yeah, that's it.
Purple.
Good job.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right, you guys got it, right?
Oh, there's yellow right there.
Do you see how you have to look a little different? Yeah. You have to observe. You have to go into it looking for something. You have to whet your appetite. You have to be passionate about what God's going to show you. Let's look at the next one, Eric.
How do you guys see the red, like, from there?
Count the F's in the sentence. Tell me when you get the number and yell it out. Good try.
Five. Six.
Is it five or is it six?
Oh.
Yeah. Six? Anybody else get six? Anybody get five? Anybody get seven?
Five.
Did anybody get 11?
Excuse me.
Five.
All right. At least six. You're right.
Six.
It's at least three, right? I'm right too. All right. How many people say five? How many people say four? How many people say six? Seven? You got five? You guys want another minute?
Please.
You want me to go over it with you? You got it now?
Count six.
Yeah, six. Yeah.
One.
All right.
And they're in college.
Two,
oh, seven.
Do you see seven?
There.
Yeah.
No.
Six.
No,
oh,
I see
seven.
No,
it's the sentence below.
It's
the sentence below.
The S in the sentence below.
It's in the sentence below.
Below.
Finished files are the result of years of scientific study combined with the experience of years. How many S?
Oh,
six.
Six? Everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Six.
One, two,
scientific
three, four, five. All right. I'm just at.
There's a bunch of these.
I don't know. All right. So let's go ahead and go to the next one. We got a couple more. Is there, do you see anything wrong with this next sentence? Read it to me.
70%.
Well, it says percent twice.
Okay, read it to me. Somebody, who's real confident? Read it to me.
Yep. Very much so.
You're next.
70% of the public can't spot the mistake in this text, period.
Do you guys catch it?
Yes.
Two of those.
There's 2% in two of those.
Yeah, everybody see that? All right, we'll go one more.
And the misspell.
All right, this one's on you, Trevor. Give it to me.
Not copying anyone.
Can you find the mistake?
Yes.
Yes.
What is it? It's in the word mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes. He didn't say, he just said yes, but he didn't say
anything. She's right.
She is right.
She's right. You can't take that.
Do you guys see the mistake?
Yes.
Did you?
I see the mistake.
It says mistake.
Listen, you know what?
There's no mistake in that. There's only a mistake. There's no mistake.
Yeah.
You must be mistaken.
So I have one more that I was going to bring, but I didn't bring it tonight. When we read, we will naturally begin interpreting. We can fill in, and I've got letters that are all jumbled around. Like every word is jumbled around, but you can read it successfully because we understand context, right? That's what we talked about last week. Because you're used to reading something, because you're familiar with words. You know, the problem with this is you're so familiar with reading these words that you will, a lot of times people, I've kind of heightened it, like, are you aware of that there's a mistake here? Mm-hmm. When you read the, most people will just naturally, because we know there's only supposed to be one the. We know the rule. We know how language is. On Sunday, I was sharing with Sherry, and I said, listen, when you're going through this, the difficulty right now is I've asked you to be very disciplined to only do observe. Don't go to I, don't go to A. Don't go to the interpretation, don't go to the application. The problem is that we naturally think that way. God wrote in a way that we naturally will understand. But it's hard to be very disciplined, just sticking to observing. That's all we're doing right now. Next week is interpreting. Well, actually, 2 weeks from now. Next week is going to be a Thanksgiving praise night. We're going to give God praise, so come on back for that worship and praise Him. But we're going to come back after that, and we're going to get into interpretation. How do you interpret the Bible? We're not there yet. We're just sticking to observing. So I'll send you guys some of these pictures, and you can kind of have fun with them. You can do the stereograms and take a look at this. But what I want to do from now is we're going now into a little bit more. I want to just go through. And I have some stuff on figures of speech I'm not going to share with you guys, but there's some of these things, they help us read the scriptures better. They help us see and understand what the author is saying. And so for the parts of speech, the things that I want to pull out for you guys tonight, if you're taking notes, if you don't want to, I'll send you it. But we're going to go through what a noun is. Do you guys understand what a noun is? This is basic. There's another slide. I don't know if you closed it off or not, but... Schoolhouse Rock. You guys remember Schoolhouse Rock?
Yes.
When I was growing up, there were these 3-minute channels. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'll get as far as Capitol Hill. Right? That was, and like, I remember just thinking, I hate these things. These things are so stupid. And but then later on, I'm like, that was like, that's the parts of speech. That's how we write. That's how we think. And I just really missed all the opportunities to grow. So if you want, and I was going to bring it, but every one's about three minutes long. So they've got conjunctions. Remember, how does conjunctions go?
Conjunctions.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And so we've got and, but, or, right? Those are the top three, right? So for nouns, let me give you a very high-level overview, and then we're going to go into practices. We're going to split up in groups, okay, and we're going to go into practices. So the first thing I want to do is tell you what a noun is, a person, place, or thing, right? Really, really straightforward. This is very basic, but we should know the parts of speech. A noun is used to identify a person, place, thing, animal, an abstract idea, a quality, or an act. I'll send all of this to you. The next one I know about, and you know about, are called proper nouns. These are very specific, and they're capitalized. Johnny, right? It's a name, capital. Kennedy High School, right? Noah's Ark, right? Those are all. The President, right? President, because it's a title. Very specific. We also have pronouns. I told you, we're going to go quick tonight, so stay with me. I did not want this just to be an academic exercise, but I want you to hear it, and then you're going to have this. You can save it down, and you could use it. The next one after that is a pronoun. Pronouns are he, she, it, they, you, etc. They take the place of a noun or substitutes for a noun. It's used to make your sentences less cumbersome and less repetitive. For example, if you're talking about Johnny, you say, you know, Johnny and I went over to the arcade, and Johnny and I played this arcade game, and Johnny and I spent so many quarters, and Johnny and I, it's repetitive, it's redundant. So what we do is we say, and so we, he and I, he did, he's got the high score, rather than Johnny got the high score. Like, you already know, the context is you already know that we're talking about Johnny, right? Am I losing you guys already? You guys with me? Is the turkey, is it the tryptophan, is it hit you yet? Don't fall asleep yet. All right, verbs. I love verbs. Verbs involve action. Yes, you're right. This is probably the most important part of a sentence, a verb, because it talks about the action. It asserts or expresses something about the subject of the sentence and expresses actions, events, and states of being. Another one is an adverb. An adverb modifies a verb or another adverb. It can adverbs not only modify, tell more about verbs, but they also modify adjectives, phrases, sentences, and even themselves. They help to answer the questions we were talking about last week, right? The 5 W's and the 1 H. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, right? For example, he cheerfully mows the lawn, right? He mows the lawn frequently. Those are adverbs. All right, moving on. Got the adjectives. You guys know what an adjective is? It's a modifier, right?
Something that describes a noun.
That's right, yeah. It's used to describe, to identify, or quantify a noun or a pronoun. It gives more description, more information about the word that it's modifying. This is my big black Bible, right? My black leather Bible. This is my big, right? They're adjectives. You guys with me? Green, right? It describes something. Articles. I love articles. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. I love articles. Now listen, I remember going through in high school one semester of literature, of grammar. And then we went through 3.5 years of literature. In other words, we read for 3.5 years, and it was the most boring time in my life. And I hated reading. And then they gave me a part to read 1 year, and I hated it. I hated to read in front of people. I was very self-conscious. It was horrible. And it was a stupid story, too, in my opinion. They should have done something about sports or something, and I would have liked it. But now I love to read. I'm not a great reader, but I'm a very slow, deliberate reader because I found that this works for me. Read very slowly. Look for things. One of the things that I did not get taught in high school, I didn't learn until I started studying the Bible, and that is the article. If you know about articles, there's three articles. You've got two indefinite articles and one definite article. In John 1:1, are you guys with me there? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now listen, in the English, it doesn't show the definite article. I love the definite article. Just so you guys know, as a Christian, I love John 1:1, and I love the definite article, the. Because when the Jehovah Witnesses come along and they say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That's what they say. A, they put A. And they put an article in, but they put an indefinite article. And the Word, who is Jesus Christ, was a God. It totally makes him one of many gods. It takes away his deity. It strips him, and it forces us to consider them a cult. They've come against the essential doctrine of Jesus Christ being God. However, when we look at the Greek, there is the definite article, the. So it reads this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the God. It was the God. Jesus Christ is the God. Are you guys with me? So I'm trying to be passionate. I'm telling you, listen, articles are awesome. Awesome. We could use this to illustrate if you want to talk about something very specifically, like somebody's spouse. You know, you could be really specific, or you could not be very specific, and it changes the context of things, right? That's I don't know if I could even give you an example of it, but it's a wife, like one of his wives, or it's the wife. Are you with me? It changes the context completely. All right, so that's article. I'll kind of get back off of this, but I love this. You guys know, write it in your Bible. So you guys are already open there. You know what? Write in the, because it's a definite article, and it is in the Greek, and that's the way John 1:1 reads. So when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and they come knock, and you can ask them, what does it say here? Why did you guys define it? Why did you guys translate it as a? You've completely changed the context. When we get to cults later on next year, we're going to go through Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Muslims, and we're going to train you on what you need to know to talk with them. When you get to the Jehovah's Witnesses, we're going to talk about that. We're going to go to Colossians 1:16. We're going to show you how they have perverted the scriptures. They twisted them. Okay? Not tonight. Not anymore. Not anymore tonight. That's all. Okay? I teach. That's what I do. The next one is conjunction. We talked about this. Conjunction, junction, right? We know the songs. They link words, phrases, clauses, sentences in the following examples. Things like, I ate pizza and the pasta. Call the movers when you're ready. Therefore is a good conjunction. Whenever you see the word therefore, you ask, why is it therefore? Because what was I just talking about? Therefore, when somebody's building an argument, when you're reading the scriptures, right? Romans 12:1. It says, therefore, present yourselves as living sacrifices, right? Because he's been building up all the tender mercies, first 11 chapters, all the good things that God has done. Therefore, present yourselves as a holy living sacrifice, right? So therefore is a conjunction. It's connecting different things. The main ones are and, but, or. Those are the most commonly used conjunctions. Interjections, right? You guys remember that one?
Yep.
Ow! Yow!
Hey,
ouch!
Hurt.
Something like that. Yeah, I watched it today, so it's kind of in my head. They're cute little cartoons. I hated them when I was a kid. Now I like them. They're words or phrases or sounds in a sentence that convey emotion. Grammatically, they're not related to any part of the sentence. They don't have to be related. They can be just a one, like, ouch! And that's enough. It's an interjection, right? Another one that I love when I study the Bible is prepositions. Prepositions show a relationship to a noun or another noun. My tablet is on top of this table. It's on the table. Right? It's a preposition. A lot of times, listen, I'll just give you guys this. When I look for prepositions in the scriptures, I'm looking for where the action is taking place at. Prepositions will direct me to where the action is taking place at. The book is beneath the table. The book is leaning against the table. Against. The book is beside the table. She held the book over the table. Right? You guys with me? It's proximity. Right? When you look at it, it's always going to be, where is it? Is it in? Well, he poured the juice into the bottle. Are you guys with me? I love prepositions. All right, so those are the parts of speech. The parts of the sentences are basically bringing all these things together. You've got the subject, and that is who or what we're talking about. It gives the answer to the question, about giving us the subject, right? The boy hit the ball. The predicate, that's going to be the verb form. That's the verb part of the sentence. The object is the receiver of the action. So, if, and then I'll just go quick. I feel like I'm going to lose you guys. The other one is the predicate nominative. And the predicate nominative is a verb of being. Is, are, was, and the subject and the object are referring to the same thing. It's called the predicate nominative. I'm going to send these to you guys. And I think it'll be good for you guys to go through and just study it a little bit. And I know it seems like, gosh, grammar, history, like that's how you understand writing better, when you pick up on it. When you read through the Gospel of Mark, one of his most famous words that he uses is immediately. That's the word he uses over and over. Why does he use that so much? It changes the way that you look at it. When he's saying, immediately they got up and did this. Immediately Jesus responded. It changes the context of the way that you're looking at it and seeing, he's seeing something that is, he's a man of action, right? So it helps you interpret scripture better and better. So what I want to do right now is for the rest of our time, and we've got at least 20 minutes, I want to talk about a couple of passages. What I think I'll do is I'll have you break up into small groups, a couple here, one over here, and we're going to go through Joshua 3:13 and Psalm 1, and I just want you to observe. I just want you to tell me what you see. When you get done with that, I want you to go to Mark chapter 2. If you get done with that, I want you to go to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, which is our homework. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12, is what we're going through for the whole year, and we are going to exhaust that passage. You're going to know Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, inside and out. What are the things that you're seeing in that passage? Observe. What do you notice? Who's talking? Who's being spoken to? Who are the main figures there? What's happening? Right? Just observe as much as you can. Let me give you one more thing before we break apart. What I do when I get my observation, a really, really good way to do it, take a piece of paper, and you divide it into three sections, O, I, and A. And you just start writing down, observe, and I break it up, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and I just write down all the things that I'm observing, and then when we get to I, we're going to interpret. And then when we get to A, we're going to apply. And I'll show you how you go through. And then what you'll do, if you're paying attention and you're catching this on Sunday, you'll hear me doing the same thing. It's got that same flow, OIA, because it's very logical. If you've done this exercise already, which I know I was talking with Sherry, and she's like, I'm already jumping over to the next one. I say, it's very logical. You should be thinking like that. It's hard for us to pull back and say, I'm just going to observe. So what I want you to do is I want you to write down this passage, if you got a pen and paper, Joshua 3:13. If you want to read the context, read what happens coming into this. Why is this happening? And I just want you to observe and just talk amongst yourselves. And then go Psalm 1. A lot of times you'll observe things that will be like Psalm 1, six verses. And if you observe correctly, you're going to see it's outlined. It's got two parts to it. Psalm 1. So why don't Amber and you guys go back with Pastor Pablo? Kind of gather around there a little bit, and you guys can share. You guys come over here. I'm going to be over here and talk with you guys. And I'll bounce over to you guys, too.
Okay.
So, I should let Amber stay up here with you guys.
Okay.
Hey, Amber, you want to come up here?
Yes.
I think it would be a better division.
Okay.
No, this one it breaks it up a little bit more evenly.
Up to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. soul.
Do you want to serve all of these down the third and everything in there, or do you want to just
No. I would focus on the five questions. The five W's.
What, where, what,
oh,
yes.
I was in the last week. Is that
what
last week?
Yeah. What, when, where, why, and then
I mean,
how.
I was here, but I was
really. What do you see? What do you look for?
See,
look at it visually. These are the these, especially Joshua 3:13, is very visual.
Well, it's obviously about Joshua.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's something very specific. So who's being spoken about? So go through the five questions, the five W and the one H question. That's what I want you guys, not the nouns, not the parts of speech.
I'm trying to see if you guys were just hearing or observing. So let's see, that you will say my father and mother.
Where are you at now?
Are you Joshua 3:13?
Jeez. Read.
Well, you know, if I had a good teacher.
Yeah, I've already taught you this stuff. Read Joshua 1 through 12 and then go to 13.
So when the priest.
He's talking about
Mark.
Where are we at?
Although he did just say,
I know, but.
Come on, Trevor.
Who? Did you mean Mark?
Cindy.
No, not he's talking about earlier.
Why
not
are you
now.
Because he said you get the context of the verse.
Yeah, you'll get.
But that's not what you were actually doing.
Yeah,
I think
you
said 3, 1 through 12. And then,
I thought you said 1. Oh, okay. Sorry. You guys are confusing me. Do you have
any numbers?
I'm tired.
All right.
So
what?
Yeah. Trevor's confused. Read Joshua 1 through 12. That will build the context for 13.